I want to start today with something that has now come up a few times. Most recently, it came up in a Reddit post. I'm going to show it to you, and it has everything to do with Joe Biden. User Dave CC said, a thing that David keeps saying, but I believe is inaccurate. He, meaning me, he mentions from time to time that it doesn't bode well for Trump because he's not gaining new voters and some are leaving. That's true. But what's left out is the fact that Biden is also losing voters, young people disgruntled with the Israel war, black voters, Muslim voters, Hispanic voters, etc. Who is losing more is the question. Biden is losing from more groups. So it may be that Biden is at a net loss compared to Trump. Since you look at the slim margins that Biden won in swing states, it is not looking promising. For example, if young voters and Muslims leave Biden for supporting Israel, Biden is toast. Also, if Biden does not support Israel, the other side of the conflict will leave Biden. So it is lose-lose on that subject. Time to panic? Maybe. So where is this person right and where are they wrong? This sort of commentary is right in that you must consider not only has Trump gained or lost support, but has Biden gained or lost it? If you look just at Trump in 2020, you say, as Simon Rosenberg told us yesterday, you have Trump from 2020 who lost, now charged with 91 felonies, found to be a civilly liable rapist, found to have defrauded the state of New York and may lose his business license there, all these other things. So clearly, Trump must have lost support. 35% of New Hampshire Republicans say they won't vote for him. But on the other hand, you have to consider the Biden question. Now, to be very clear, we are speculating here. This is all speculation. But my speculation does not coincide with what this viewer is saying. It is true that Joe Biden faces challenges in maintaining support with some groups, and that includes young people, black voters, Muslim voters, Hispanic voters. Sure. OK. Discontent with U.S. policy towards Israel. It may influence some voters, although I think the number will be small. So first, zoom out. Is anti-Trumpism as a voting motivator bigger or smaller than anti-Bidenism? We know anti-Bidenism exists in that Republicans hate the guy. Some Democrats say I'm disaffected with Biden. Yeah, there are slices of the electorate saying I'm angry with Biden over Israel. But do you really think when you zoom out that there is a larger anti-Biden movement that's going to go out and vote Trump to spite Biden or stay home, even though there's a great economy because they're upset about Gaza? I'm not saying they don't exist. What I'm saying is if you think about it deeply, the people most upset about Biden's handling of Israel are young voters who are the least likely to vote anyway. And they're saying, I guess they're saying they'll stay home or they might vote Trump. It's not going to be a major factor. Now, on the other hand, you have 35% of all New Hampshire Republicans in exit polls saying, I'm not voting Trump in November. Voted in the primary, I'm not voting Trump. That's 35% of the entire Republican primary voting public, including both Republicans and independents, and obviously the small sliver of Democrats that voted in that primary. You look at Iowa, the people who voted Haley overwhelmingly are not going to vote Trump. And many of them are saying we will vote for Joe Biden if Haley is not the nominee. These are dramatically differently sized groups. The anti-Trump movement is dramatically bigger than the anti-Biden movement. Secondly, I'm not actually seeing any evidence that Joe Biden is really losing voters the way it's being portrayed. It is true that every president who runs for re-election loses some people who voted for them the first time. They're disaffected. They're not going to do it the second time. I don't deny there are people angry with Biden over, I guess, Gaza and beyond that areas Biden hasn't done enough with. But as Simon Rosenberg told us yesterday, when you look at young people, the people who seem most upset with Biden about Gaza, even they aren't saying that foreign policy is most or even at all important to them. And a lot of them don't even vote. Look at New Hampshire. Biden wasn't even on the ballot. Biden was a write-in in New Hampshire. He didn't even campaign in New Hampshire. And he got 56% of the vote in a multi-way race, including against Dean Phillips, who focused on New Hampshire for months and months and ended up with 19 or something like that. and was officially on the ballot. Biden didn't campaign, wasn't on the ballot, and still got 56% of the vote. That is a signal, if I've ever seen one. On the other hand, Trump picked judges who got rid of Roe v. Wade. And since then, Republicans have lost everything. Women are rightly furious. They're going to come out for Biden, including some Republican women. But honestly, more than who is mad about Roe versus who is mad about Gaza, a lot of this is about turnout. A lot of this is about turnout. I struggle to believe that in large numbers, voters who would typically vote for the Democrat are going to go for Trump, go third party, or stay home because they aren't as happy as they could be with Biden, or because of Gaza, or because he hasn't done enough on cannabis or whatever, when he, number one, has done so much on infrastructure, healthcare, student debt, manufacturing, climate, and also because people understand what's at stake if Trump is president. He's offering nothing that will improve the lives of Americans, and he is promising to be an authoritarian lunatic and to go back to the same failed strategies of his first 4 years. So I'm not saying no one will do it. There's 330 million people in this country. Not all of them vote, right? But, you know, registered voters, et cetera. You're going to find people who do everything. People who voted Trump twice and stay home. People who voted Biden and vote Trump. You will find individuals who did all of these things. I really struggle to believe that this election is going to be determined by Biden would-be voters staying home for whatever reason. So we would like to see better polling. There's no reason to panic. There's no reason to assume Biden's got this. We say, hey, the economy's pretty good. We've all got to get out and vote. Biden is making a strong case for his reelection based on all the economic data and other accomplishments. And that's where we are. I'm going to play a clip for you from a recent episode of the Joe Rogan program. This was with comedian Bobby Lee. It really bums me out to see this. It really genuinely does. And I know there are people like me who have been on Rogan's show who won't ever criticize him because they don't want to not get invited in the future. I might never get invited. If he does invite me, I'll gladly go on. But that's not how I make decisions. Joe is saying things here that are just wrong. Here is a COVID rant where I don't know where he's getting this stuff. Let's listen.
Yeah, but when I got, I was really bad, but I lived through it. It was fine. Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of different things that were at play there. First of all, there was just general metabolic health that was completely ignored. People told you all you have to do is get vaccinated. That's horse shit. Your immune system is complex and it relies on a bunch of different things to keep it effective. It relies on good nutrition. It relies on sleep. It relies on low stress. It relies on vitamins and nutrients.
Now, so far, it's not untrue that underlying health, this isn't even about COVID. Underlying health circumstances do predispose you to handle viruses well or not well. So far, we're okay.
Healthy diet, exercise, all those things were huge factors, and they ignored every single one of them. When you look at the number of people that died of COVID, something like 90%+ had 4+ comorbidities. 4+. Mm. Cancer, diabetes, heart attack risk. Fill in the blank.
This is where it really goes off the rails. Hearing that, you might wrongly think, if I don't have 4 comorbidities, if I don't have cancer and diabetes and heart disease, then I'm going to be fine. First of all, the 90+ number is wrong. The study he's referring to said 76%, but here's why it's really deceptive, okay? When you look at the list of comorbidities people died with from COVID, they include pneumonia caused by COVID. They include respiratory failure caused by COVID. This is why it's so deceptive and you've got to look at the data. If you say to me, they didn't die from COVID, they died from pneumonia and respiratory failure, those are comorbidities. Yes, they were caused by the COVID. So what are we really saying when we say, oh, comorbidities? Comorbidities caused by COVID. It is obviously true that if you are obese, diabetic, et cetera, your chances are worse. We know that. Nobody's denying that. And that's not unique to COVID. But that is a very deceptive and I would argue flat out wrong thing to say.
Four comorbidities, 90%+ of them.
Yeah.
It's not that it's not bad. Of course it's bad. But it's, you know what's worse? You mother telling everybody what they have to do and not have to do. You motherfuckers telling people they could shut their businesses down and they have to take this experimental medication regardless of whether or not they have natural immunity. Dude, he was Gestapo shit.
I don't even know what experimental the experimental medications were being proposed by Trump and his friends. Hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, etc. If he's calling the vaccine an experimental medication, I just think that's flat out incorrect.
I'm with you, bud. I'm with you.
It was, yeah. It was mind control. It was totalitarian, authoritarian tactics. They were limiting people's livelihood, limiting people's ability to travel, shaming people.
So listen, on this stuff, mind control seems completely beyond the pale. I do defer to the perspective of Sam Harris on this, which was at the very what he's talking about with regard to business closures, et cetera. It was quite a short period of time. As Sam has laid it out, the benefit of hindsight is hugely beneficial. But at the time, we were using our best assessments of the tools we had. And I don't believe that there were individuals acting in the conspiratorial bad faith that Rogan and others seem to believe they were. So I'm glad to talk to Joe anytime. I don't know that he would have me back. You know, people write to me and go, David, if you think he's so wrong, go back on his show. And I go, sure, I'll go back. And then they go, David, Rogan would never have you anymore because you criticize him. Oh, OK, well, then I won't go back. If he wants to chat with me about this stuff, I would be glad to. And to be honest, I don't think Rogan's the type of guy who would say I'm not allowed back on because I've critiqued him. But the critiques are always of what he says and the substance. And I think he's just very wrong about a bunch of this stuff. Let me know your thoughts. We'll take a quick break. When I'm doing any kind of my work, prepping for the show, whatever it might be, I love a standing desk, an adjustable desk that can go up or down for sitting or standing. It gets the creative juices going. It's good for your health. There's really no substitute. And the one I've been using for years is the one from a company called Uplift Desk. I love it so much. We asked them to become a sponsor. I've tried multiple standing desks from different companies. Uplift Desk is the only one that I really feel is sturdy and solid when it goes up and down. You can try to shake it, put weight on it. It just doesn't wobble. Lots of other things set Uplift Desk apart as well. When you shop for a standing desk, everything is customizable. The material, the size, the color, the wheels. I have the huge one with no wheels, for example. Wire management accessories. They really offer everything. Uplift Desk has been chosen as the New York Times best standing desk for the last 4 years. They have 4.9 stars on Google. I've been a longtime customer. You will love it. I am sitting at one of these right now. I use it to record the show every day. My audience will get 5% off at UpliftDesk.com/Pacman. Use the code Pacman5. That's UPLIFT desk.com/Pacman. Then use the code Pacman5 to get 5% off. The info is in the podcast notes. One of our sponsors today is BetterHelp. Viewers of the show, listeners know I'm a big advocate of therapy. I think it's important to make it more accessible, remove any stigma that might be associated. We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. And therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest, figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. BetterHelp is therapy done entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, suited to your schedule. Fill out a brief questionnaire. You'll be matched with a licensed therapist. Switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. I'm a huge believer in talk therapy, and BetterHelp is making it more accessible to more people. You can even find a therapist who specializes in certain areas, which maybe you can't find where you are geographically. There are lots of great benefits to doing therapy online. Get it off your chest. Visit BetterHelp. Go to BetterHelp.com/Pacman Show today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/Pacman Show. The link is in the podcast notes. Breaking a deeply ingrained habit is one of the toughest things to do. Our sponsor, Fume, can make it easier. Not everything in a bad habit is wrong. So instead of a drastic, uncomfortable change, remove the bad from the habit. And that's, quite frankly, what Fume helps you do. Fume is an innovative, award-winning device that delivers flavored air. That's it. There's no vapor. There's no nicotine, no electronics. It's just delicious flavored air delivered by the cylindrical Fume device that fits in the palm of your hand. It comes in tasty, refillable flavors like raspberry lemon, orange vanilla, grapefruit, crisp mint. The Fume device goes in your pocket. You can carry it around. It has movable parts and magnets. So if you're fidgeting or want to, it's great for that. And it's just a useful thing to break bad habits. And it provides that perfectly satisfying hand-to-mouth mechanic that many people love. Don't judge Fume until you've tried it. They have helped countless people make positive changes, and you could be next. Head over to tryfume.com and use code PACMAN to save 10% when you get the Journey Pack, which comes with the device and several flavors to try. That's tryfume.com/PACMAN. Use the code PACMAN for 10% off the Journey Pack. The info is in the podcast notes. The David Pakman Show depends on the support of our audience. You might say, well, all I do is listen to a podcast, or all I do is watch a YouTube clip here and there. Those are exactly the sorts of folks that support our program. And the easiest way to do it, where we keep the vast majority of every dollar, is by signing up at joinpakman.com. We pay just 2.9% to swipe credit cards and keep all of the rest. You can use the coupon code SAVEDEMOCRACY24 to get a discount. And not only are you getting great perks, you're also supporting an endeavor that hopefully you think is worthwhile, right? I mean, otherwise, why would you be here? Let's speak to some of the people who listen to the show, who watch the show. We do this on the Friday show via Discord at davidpakman.com/discord. And we're going to start today. I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly. Is it Ali X from Florida? Ali X from Florida. Welcome. Yeah,
it's just Alex. Thank you.
Alex. Okay, good. Welcome.
Hey. So I've been watching your show for a while now, and I gotta say, I really am impressed with just everything you do.
Thank you.
And what I wanted to know is just, what is your honest take on Nikki Haley as a politician, as a presidential candidate, and just her policy in general? Not so much her winning chances, just what you think.
Because it's over.
Yeah. No, I'm a Nikki Haley fan, but I'm also realistic. It's not looking good.
So are you a lifelong Republican?
I would say so. Yeah, no, I've always been more on the right, but I'm definitely not happy with Trump as it stands now.
Who'd you vote for in 2020?
I did not vote in 2020. I was actually not old enough yet.
You aren't old enough yet. Okay. Listen, here's my thought on Nikki Haley. Okay. She's obviously less crazy than Trump. I think she was the second least crazy person who ran in the Republican primary behind Chris Christie, who seemed the most sober and sane of all of them. I don't find anything about Nikki Haley's policy ideas interesting. She will occasionally show some restraint when it comes to foreign policy. She generally seems to think that funding Ukraine the way we are is a pretty good deal. On tax policy, she's to my right, but she's not insane. On abortion, I actually don't remember. I know she says she's vehemently pro-life. I don't remember what kind of an abortion ban she wants, but I'm sure I'm to her left. She's sort of a much more standard Republican, where we can have a reasonable conversation. Our disagreements are more policy oriented rather than is democracy worth preserving. But she's not the sort of person I would go out of my way to support. But she's a Republican more of the style we used to have, where the disagreements are more about policy rather than dealing with completely crazy people.
All right. That's actually that's a good response. Thank you.
I'm curious, what are the areas on which you're most conservative and find yourself agreeing with the Republican Party?
I believe the part that I'd be most relative to them with would just be on immigration. I do think we need to do more to be securing the border
And what
right
would you
now,
do?
but I would say that right now Biden is trying to get funding passed, and recently we saw that the Republicans in Congress blocked the bill, which was interesting. They rant and rave about the border and then do nothing about it when
But
presented
I
the
guess, Alex, what
opportunity.
I mean is, do you want a wall? Do you want to focus on deporting visa overstayers who have nothing to do with the physical border? Do you think that we need to be targeting the companies that hire undocumented immigrants, which is illegal but very not often enforced? What would you like to see done about immigration? Do you think DACA recipients should be granted permanent legal status in the United States?
I would say the wall, it just, I haven't seen evidence that it's worked because they say that Trump didn't finish the wall. He built most of it.
No, he
And
didn't. He
so,
didn't. The
did he not?
he built a tiny fraction. I believe that the late I want to be accurate, of the however many miles is it? It's like 1900 miles. I think Trump built new wall on like a couple hundred miles. So he got
Oh,
not even
wow.
10% of it done. Yeah.
That's okay. I didn't know that. Thank you for
Yeah.
telling me
So
that.
you don't think the wall really would work that well, it sounds like.
Well, either way then, yeah, I didn't know that it wasn't actually, I thought it was about 80%. So
No,
that's
Trump
to be fair.
insisted that he mostly built it, but that was a lie.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So no, I don't think a wall would be the most effective. I think just having more security on the border in general would be the first step. And second,
Meaning
when it
what?
comes
Meaning what? What does that mean? More security? You're saying hire more
to,
border patrol?
more border patrol, maybe more ICE agents on the border, just making sure people don't come in the first place.
Okay.
And then when it comes to immigrants already in the country, I kind of agree with what I want to say. Yeah, it was Nikki Haley that said it, where it's just anybody that's been here for more than 10 years illegally, by that point, they're already pretty much there. They're just an American citizen. Just let's not worry about that.
I don't
We
remember
need
Nikki Haley
to.
saying that, but that's interesting.
I listen to everything she does,
Yep.
every podcast, every town hall, everything.
Cool.
So
Well,
yeah,
last
I
question, Alex, before I let you go.
yeah.
In terms of those who came here as minors, should they be allowed to stay?
Ooh, that's a good question.
In other words, they were brought here by their parents when they were legally
Yeah.
minors.
I'd say they didn't have control of the situation. So if they choose to, as an adult, stay here
Yeah.
rather than going back, I think if they were brought here as a minor, they should at least be given the opportunity of citizenship.
All right. Alex from Florida, if Nikki Haley doesn't become the nominee, which she won't, will you vote Trump or Biden in November?
I'm still undecided on that, but I'm leaning Biden.
All right. Alex, thank you so much for the call.
Yep, thank you for talking to me.
All right. Let's go next to David from Tampa Bay, a self-described Trump supporter. David from Tampa Bay, welcome to the program. What's on your mind today, sir?
Hi, David. Thank you for having me. I
Pleasure.
very much enjoy your show. Listen all the time.
Thank you.
What's on my mind is just wondering, Republicans seem very excited for Trump. And do you think that Democrats hating Trump and, from what I'm seeing in the polls, not being excited for Biden will be enough for them to defeat him?
Well, I'll answer that. But David, when you say Republicans seem excited for Trump, aren't you a Trump Republican? Like, are you excited for Trump?
No, I'm not excited for Trump.
But you're voting
But
for him?
yes.
Why?
Just because I lean more fiscally conservative.
And which Trump policies are fiscally conservative?
Well, I don't think it's a matter of just the policies. I think it's just reining things in and not spending as much money. I think both parties are big spenders.
But Trump blew up the deficit in historic ways. How is that fiscally conservative?
Well, if you remember what was happening with COVID and all the COVID relief that really blew it up,
I mean
the
before that, though.
Democrats wanted. Well, the deficit goes up every single year, no matter who's in
No,
charge.
the debt goes up every single year. The deficit goes up or it can sometimes go down. It went down under Obama.
Oh, it did go down under Obama. Well, I liked Obama,
Okay.
but from what
See,
I've
here's
seen
my
lately.
confusion, David. Here's my confusion. You call in, you say, I'm a Trump supporter. I go, okay. So you're excited about Trump. You go, no, I'm conservative, so I'm voting Trump. I say, great. Which fiscally conservative things? You go, well, reining in the spending. I go, well, Trump blew up the deficit. So why are you voting Trump?
Well, I'm voting for Trump just because, in general, the spending is less under Republicans.
But that's not
Virtually
true.
everything that goes
Republican
through
presidents have a
Congress.
history of growing the deficit dramatically. We saw it under Trump. We saw it under Bush. It's been decades since Republicans spent less than Democrats as president. It's just factually untrue.
Well, I just think with, hold on, let me think about it for a second.
Yeah, I'm curious. And I'm not playing gotcha with you. We have calls like this where people, they say one thing. And then I talk to them and they've misunderstood or don't know the facts, but then they go, I don't know, I'm still voting for Trump.
No, I mean I'm very much on the fence. This could be something I research and change my mind on
Yeah.
because I don't like him as a person. I just normally just see, at least with the rhetoric, about the only way to solve problems on the Democratic side is just to throw money at more money on the problem.
Are
But
you open to the idea that, like, you would agree that some problems are solved with money, right?
sure. I mean, I think a
Yeah.
lot of things on the margin can be solved with some more money.
Yeah. So it really sounds much more like Biden would be the right choice for you than Trump, just from what you're telling me, David.
It's possible.
Yeah.
It's possible. Yeah, I mean, if I go and research this and just see that generally under Biden, they're being a little more conservative. I mean, I'm just worried about everything that happened with inflation.
But
It
in
blew
you,
up.
what do
The
you
only
think?
thing I
What's
remember.
happening with inflation? Tell me, what has happened with inflation in the last 18 months?
Well, in the last 18 months, the Fed's been bringing it down.
Right, so you agree inflation is down dramatically under Biden?
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think it had anything to do with him or his policies or anything like that.
Well, but I guess the question it's but it has to do with the Fed based on who he selected to be there, right?
Sure. I mean, I think any good Fed president is gonna try to keep inflation in line and employment up.
But again, David,
But
the reason
sure.
I'm asking is you said you're concerned about Biden because of what's been happening with inflation. And then you just told me inflation's
I
way
think it's
down.
more just Democratic policies in general, just more spending all the time.
But you realize that Obama lowered the deficit. Clinton had a surplus, whereas George W. Bush and Trump blew up the deficit. What I'm trying to
Well,
communicate to you is, you have your understanding of what's going on based, it sounds like, on rhetoric, and it's counter to the facts. And I'm curious whether it's the rhetoric or the facts that are more appealing to you.
no, it's definitely the facts. I mean, I had no problem with Clinton or Obama. I
Okay.
thought they were perfectly fine. I'm not, I look at it just what's happening with politics at the time. Obama and Clinton were fine.
Okay.
Bush was all right. I don't like Trump at all. I think if I were to say who's a better person, I think it would be Biden.
Yeah.
I just look at how things are affecting our lives day by day. And I don't think Trump is that great of a guy. Like, I don't like what he did on trade. I don't like the America First rhetoric. What I do sort of approve on is, I like the judges that he put in place. I like generally maybe not him, but the Republican Party and who he's picking as a judge and the border, like your last caller
Yeah.
mentioned. The
All
only
right.
thing
Well,
that I
David,
would.
listen, I'm listening to you. You're sounding more like a Biden guy than a Trump guy to me, but keep researching, okay?
Cheers.
All
Appreciate the
right.
call.
Trump supporter David from Tampa Bay very clearly should be voting for Joe Biden based on what he's telling me, right? Not based on anything I imposed on him, based on what he's telling me. Very clearly should be voting for Biden. Let's go to Seth from Nebraska. Seth from Nebraska, welcome to the David Pakman Show. What is on your mind today? Seth, you're on the air, please. And last chance for Seth to fix his audio. All right. No chance there with Seth from Nebraska. Let's go to Sarah Beth from Washington. Sarah Beth from Washington, welcome to the program. What can I do for you today? Oh, boy. Sarah Beth from Washington, welcome to the program. And Sarah Beth, you got to fix your audio. Last chance for Sarah Beth from Washington. All right. Let's go to Pam from Florida. Pam from Florida, please save us from these tech disasters. What's going on?
You hear me, right?
I can hear you fine.
Yeah. No. So I've been listening to the calls recently, and I'm just like making statements. So it's not so much a question, but it's scary how little these people actually know.
Yes.
When they're reporting.
I'm terrified.
It's actually very terrifying. And to speak about Trump as if he's just a fiscally conservative dude. And, you know, I support that. And he is not normal. So the fact that you're talking about him in that way it's very disheartening. I mean, just go to his website and please look at his agenda. He wants to eradicate anybody who doesn't agree with him. He wants to only give tax cuts to the billionaires and more. And that's not going to help any of you people here listening. None of you.
No. He wants fascinating, Pam, is that, sorry to interrupt, in New Hampshire, the less money one made, the more likely they were to vote for Trump, which goes completely counter to everything that he's offering.
Well, yeah, you know, they're voting against their own interests. And as a 20-something-year-old, your main concern is the border.
Right.
I mean, the fear-mongering that got you to that place where you care more about the border than Social Security that Haley wants to cut, especially for 20-year-olds, or the fact that the earth is burning and the conservatives want to do nothing because they take money from fossil fuel. I mean, it goes on and on and on.
But the
fact that he's presented in such a way that he's just a normal conservative politician, where he's going to do so much to, ruin this country. We all know that, like you and I, but I just had a comment on what, you know, these people are supporting. And then when you ask them an actual question about policy, they have no clue, and they're educated people. So
yeah,
that's
many of them are. I'm with you, Pam. I am terrified. Every single one of these people that calls in, just they don't know what's going on. They're supporting Trump for reasons that are actually applicable to Biden. I mean, I'm scared for November for sure.
Voting for against their own interests, and females out there, they want us back in the kitchen, and that's why they want us to have babies, and that's why they're cutting all this and putting doctors, you know. I mean, this is deep stuff. Think about it. Don't worry about the border. I mean, the Republicans are refusing to help us. And even if they were in power, they don't want to help it because they always want it as a talking point. It's crazy. But sorry, just had to get it off my chest. And,
all right, Pam, good to hear from you. Your rant is completely logical based on what you're seeing.
Thank you so much, David. Always good to talk to you. Take
Likewise, care. There goes Pam from Florida. If you're holding on to talk to me, hold on just a moment longer. We're going to take a super quick break, and then we'll be right back to the phone lines. If you've been thinking about getting a new mattress, Helix Sleep is where I would start. I've been sleeping on Helix mattresses for years now. I recommend Helix to everyone, which is why I wanted them as a sponsor. If you don't want to take my word for it, Helix has been awarded number one mattress by both GQ and Wired magazine. And one of the things that makes Helix unique is their sleep quiz. I didn't really know what kind of mattress would be best for me. but you do this short sleep quiz. You answer questions about your body type and your preferences, what position you like to sleep in. And Helix will match you with the perfect mattress for you. So you know you're actually getting something tailored to your needs instead of going in blind like most people do. I got my Helix mattress designed to stay cool at night since I hate getting hot while I sleep. Shipping is always free. You get 100 nights to decide whether you like it. My audience gets a huge 20% discount off of all orders, plus two free pillows. Go to helixsleep.com/Pacman and enter code HELIXPARTNER20 at checkout. That's helixsleep.com/Pacman. Then use code HELIXPARTNER20 to get 20% off and two free pillows. The info is in the podcast notes. 30 million trees are destroyed every year for toilet paper in the U.S. alone. So toilet paper is a big contributor to deforestation and climate change. Our sponsor, Real Paper, makes toilet paper from bamboo. Bamboo plants keep growing, which means no deforestation. Bamboo also absorbs 5 times as much carbon from the atmosphere as pine trees. And bamboo toilet paper is stronger than regular toilet paper and even softer. So bamboo toilet paper is all around a win for you and for the environment. It's time to move on from that toilet paper from trees that you're using at home. When you use Real Paper, it doesn't feel like you're sacrificing anything. It's soft and fluffy, and they'll ship it to your door in plastic-free packaging on a schedule. Super easy. With every box of Real Paper you buy, they are funding reforestation efforts across the country through their partnership with One Tree Planted. So unlike the toilet paper that cuts down trees, Real is helping to actively plant them. Go to realpaper.com/Pacman and use code Pacman for 30% off your first order and free shipping. That's reelpaper.com/Pacman. And then use code Pacman. The info is in the podcast notes. Let's go back to Discord as we do on the Friday show, davidpacman.com/Discord. Why don't we go next? I don't know. How about to Pat from North Idaho? Pat from North Idaho, welcome to the program. What's on your mind today?
Mr. David, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Great to be with you, sir.
Likewise.
We spoke previously about Project 2025, and I'm wondering if you're familiar with the readout program, the movement to make Idaho part of Eastern Washington and Western Montana a separate sovereign nation.
I've heard about it. I don't know the details, but I have heard about it. Yeah.
It's a bit, you know, it's very similar to the Project 2025 agenda. I'm halfway curious if the Project 2025's ultimate goal is this readout program.
We've got folks
that literally think that as we sit here and speak right now on the Friday show, that there are troops, Russian troops in Canada ready to help Mr. Trump take over after Biden tries to steal the election.
Yeah, I don't think Project 2025 has as a goal a secession of part of the country into its own. I've seen no evidence of that whatsoever, Pat.
Yeah, I mean, just in kind of studying the Project 2025 stuff and with some of the ministers and pastors up here with the rhetoric that they have and really doing the studies, I think we have a major education program. And I think, you know, like David, the last caller, the more people actually get engaged and really do their own studies and really do their own research and not just say that I did my own research because that's what Trump told me to say type of thing.
Right.
It's just so obvious, you know, the rhetoric, the mansplaining, the projection, the signs are there if we can just get folks to look at it. And
right.
I've heard a campaign coming up in February of flip a friend and trying to flip family members and flip friends that are MAGA folks that have questions, you know, that are at the point. And we spoke before also about how to approach these folks. And
right.
I am so geared towards addiction and recovery issues that realizing that when we approach that it has to be soft, it has to be from the heart,
Yep.
It has
Pat,
to be.
I'm so sorry. Did you have a question today? I've just got 100 people waiting to chat with me.
What is it that you would recommend for anybody that really wants to listen? What's a good source? I mean, you know, somewhere we can direct folks to get information.
Let me think about that, Pat. I don't have any one source for information. Let me give some thought to that, and then we can check in again about it. Let's go next to Shmuel from St. Louis. Shmuel from St. Louis has declared himself a Trump supporter. Shmuel, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I have been listening to your show for a while just to hear sort of the strongman argument on the other side, and I really appreciate everything you do.
My pleasure.
I had one main question. I am an Orthodox Jew, and one of the major things that I've had trouble with listening to your podcast is it seems that you have a certain derision for religiousness, and I've tried to get friends of mine to listen to you, and they weren't able to get past that. What exactly is your position on people who are religious, and how would you? Meaning, I definitely understand the idea of separating it from policy and things like that, but it doesn't make sense to me for somebody who has a worldview that's coming from a religious place to not, you know, have that affect their morals and their understanding in the way that they would want to create policy.
Well, I have no derision for religion in general. As you sort of are alluding to, I don't believe that anyone's religious beliefs should be the basis for any kind of civil law or government. That makes the country a theocracy, and it would be quite literally unconstitutional. There are countries that have that sort of a system. The U.S. isn't one of them. So, for example, to say that gay marriage should be illegal because of what Leviticus says, to me, would be completely out of bounds for civil government. Now, if a particular church doesn't want to participate in certain marriages because of their religious doctrine, to the extent that it doesn't violate the law, go ahead and not do it. But for me, justifying law based on the religious beliefs of any one religion is wrong. We're on the same page so far?
Any one religion, I agree. But let's say abortion, for example, is, you know, something that would definitely cross into the religious frame of reference. And so for somebody who is not religious to come up with a scientific argument why it's totally fine, and then to look at somebody who's religious, who's saying, well, that's murder, and say, you know, well, you can't say that because that's coming from a religious place. Do you understand why that seems like it's a place where those kinds of religious morals might and even should affect the way that they want to create policy?
No. If the only basis for opposition is religious, then the answer would be you don't have to get an abortion because that's not a reason to make something illegal. That's a reason to say, I'm just not going to do it. I completely disagree with you on that. And in fact, the question very quickly becomes, which religion? There are large swaths of Judaism, including, you know, I'm Jewish, right, Shmuel?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Every Jewish movement I've ever associated with puts incredible priority on the life of the mother and is essentially pro-choice. Doesn't mean anyone has to have an abortion. It just means it should be available. So how would we value, should something be legal or illegal if my Judaism says one thing and your Judaism says something else?
No, so I understand what you're saying, and I'm actually very much of the same opinion that those kinds of carve-outs should and must be made. I think that having one specific religion dictate what exactly should happen or not, yes, I understand that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Okay.
But the idea of something like abortion being murder, right? That's a sensibility that comes from a moral standpoint. And something that if you look at it as a clump of cells from a secular standpoint, and you don't look at, you know, you don't introduce the idea of a soul, you're going to end up you know, disassociating from the idea of it being murder, whereas a respect for a person's religion would dictate that you need to look at that situation as being, it needs to be logical that somebody who understands from their religious perspective that it is murder, that they should be opposed to that.
Right. But what I think we're disagreeing on here is, I have no problem whatsoever with you setting it up and saying, you know, secular society might say abortion is not murder. Here's a religion that says it is murder. Here's a religion that says it isn't murder. That's great. All those perspectives exist. We have a constitution, and the constitution says if all you have is a religious reason for something being legal or illegal, it's not the foundation on which the United States bases its civil government. So this isn't even a question of my opinion, Shmuel. This is what the Constitution would say in the situation you're drawing up is, if we can't come up with some secular, empirical, or scientific reason for abortion to be illegal, then it's legal. But if your religion tells you that it's murder, you don't have to go and get one. That's the freedom we're talking about. And there's absolutely no conflict there at all. The only other alternative of what you're saying is that a religious view is imposed as the reason for civil law, which violates the Constitution. You could say, well, David, I disagree that that's what the Constitution should say. Great. There are other countries where religious law rather than the Constitution is the governing framework. But in the United States, it just is what it is. If you think it's murder, you shouldn't go and get an abortion.
Okay, but all that considered, it would still be prudent to respect the fact that even if the sole basis for that position is not religion, that if it is driven by religion, that should not be put down, correct?
No one's putting down. Listen, I agree with you if what you're saying is, if your religion teaches you that this is murder and you don't want to get an abortion or you don't want family members to get an abortion.
I'm not talking about
that's 100% your choice. I respect that completely.
Sure, sure. I'm specifically talking about somebody who has the sensibility that it's murder from a religious perspective that then utilizes some secular argument to make that case. The fact that it's coming from a religious sentiment.
Yeah.
Even though it's backed up.
Hello. Shmuel.
You
cut out there. Listen, I think I know what you're getting at. If a religious person who believes abortion is murder wants to come forward and make a science or secular based argument against abortion, they should be listened to. I think that's what you're getting at.
Yes. And just one other thing. You've said a lot about, and you've really stuck with Biden on the inflation rate coming down. I think that the big problem, and you actually did
hold on a second, Shmuel. Wait a second. Wait a second. What do you mean I've stuck with Biden? I've reported on the inflation rate. Is that fair to say?
No, because of the fact that it hasn't been in context. Right? In context, the inflation rate as it is now is low, but it was very high.
Right.
Right. So if you adjust for wage increases, overall, our money has become less.
Yes.
OK, so when you say to people who are looking to vote for Trump, hey, how can you look at Biden's economy and say that the inflation is out of control? Actually, inflation is very low. What you're doing is you're propagandizing and you're saying, well, you're giving them just a little piece of the puzzle and you're not showing them that actually there is a major economic issue with people's money becoming worth less. Now, that's not.
Now, hold on, Shmuel. Yeah. Hold on. I have reported fairly and accurately to my audience that inflation is down significantly.
Sure.
Wage growth is up significantly, but it is still the case. It is still the case that over the last several years, and this includes both the Trump and Biden eras, wage growth has not kept up with inflation. So I take issue with you saying I'm hiding that from my audience. I make that super clear.
Okay, so if people were to attribute the very high inflation rate that we just previously had to Biden, it would then make sense that even if the inflation rate now is much lower, that they would still take issue with Biden on the economy, considering the fact that wage increases have not kept up.
Why would someone blame Biden when the inflation has only come down under Biden since Trump left? I'd take issue with that. Doesn't make any. Why would someone do that? That doesn't make any sense.
You're saying that the inflation rate did not go up under Biden at all?
I don't have the chart in front of me. I'm sure it did go up during some months under Biden. But I think the framework I take issue with, Shmuel, is presidents only have some to do with these metrics. And I made that clear both under Trump and under Biden. Much of it relates to global economic conditions, business cycles, major events like pandemics, et cetera. So I think you're attributing to me that I give way more agency to presidents in general. My view is Trump was
predicting. I actually agree with you on
hold this. On, Shmuel. Hold on, Shmuel. Hold on, Shmuel.
Yeah.
Trump was predicting a 1929 style depression under Biden. That very much didn't happen. And so what I want voters to question is the absurd and pathetic fear mongering from Trump when obviously nothing Biden did precipitated such a bad situation.
Absolutely. And I agree with you completely on that. I was just my only point was that the framing of the economy under Biden as being better than it actually is by looking at the lower inflation rate is not taking into context the fact that to some degree, a person could arguably attribute some of the increase in the inflation rate earlier to Biden. And so I just think that framing is a little bit disingenuous. And I think that, you know, but I also agree with your main point, which is that presidents don't have nearly as much agency over these things as we give them credit for.
All right, Shmuel, very much appreciate your call.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for having me. And I would love to call back.
All right. Thank you so much. Call back anytime, Shmuel from St. Louis. All right, folks, interesting calls this week. Hopefully some enlightening and illuminating. We will take a break and be back with more right after this. You may remember a few years ago, the show got hacked and several thousand dollars were stolen. We never got it back. But now I have a lot more peace of mind because we use Aura. Our sponsor Aura is the all-in-one tool to protect your online and financial accounts. Aura alerts you anytime your personal info is found on the dark web or in data breaches, could be social security number, logins, financial accounts. You will get very fast alerts if a criminal does something like try to open up a bank account in your name, take out credit in your name. Aura will also monitor your bank accounts, your home and auto titles, which can help to guard against fraud. And Aura even protects your phone by letting you block and screen spam calls and texts. Aura has parental controls for your kids' devices to restrict apps, manage screen time, set focus time. You can try Aura free for 14 days at aura.com/Pacman. It only takes a few seconds to use the free trial to see if your username and passwords have been leaked online. That's aura.com/Pacman. The link is in the podcast notes. Let's get into Friday feedback for the week. We take feedback of all sorts and through all sorts of different means. You can always email info@davidpacman.com. Questions, comments, concerns, criticisms. It's all welcome. Politeness is preferable. We start today with something that is just very strange. Armando wrote in, "This cannel is an embarrassment." This cannel is an embarrassment. You know, I've talked before and I've been interviewed about this on other shows. How do I deal with the criticism? And one of the things I said that earlier in my career I didn't do, which now I do, is I really imagine what it must be like to be some of the people that say these things to me. And even when things are correctly spelled, I sort of feel a little sad for them, right? Like what must your life have come to where this is the sort of crap you choose to spend your days doing, sending hate messages to people you don't know on the internet, especially when it's stuff like this cannel is an embarrassment. It becomes very easy to just ignore it. It really does. And I don't know whether there's anything else to the technique, but it's, I feel like these people's lives must not be going well. And if they feel a little bit better because they fire off some incorrectly spelled message to me, you know what? I can take it. I'm a big boy. Here's another one. Grow your brain and you will get it. Tramp 2024. Not Trump. Tramp 2024. This is a classic. It's sort of a reminiscent of some of the defenders of Jordan Peterson. You would understand how incredibly insightful and intelligent what Trump is saying is if you were smarter. No. You don't have the capacity to understand the greatness of what Jordan Peterson is saying. You're misunderstanding it. The only reason it doesn't make sense to you is because you're misunderstanding it. It's always me who's the one misunderstanding, not anybody else. Clayton says, maybe if you crawled out of your parents' basement, you would come to the realization that things were much better under Trump. Just look around. You know, when people write this stuff to me, please tell me exactly which metrics you're talking about. Which things were better under Donald Trump? Were we more respected globally? No. Was unemployment lower? No. Was job creation higher? No. Were gas prices lower? Yeah, gas prices were a little bit lower during part of Trump's presidency, but on an inflation adjusted basis, they're basically just as low now at $3 a gallon. What is it that was better under Trump? I'd love for someone to actually explain it to me rather than leave me wondering in this way. Here is Rob, who says, Biden spends my money like a drunken sailor. I'm not staying home. I'm voting Biden out. Hey, buddy, have some more Biden Kool-Aid. Yeah, listen, there are programs Trump has spent money on, and there are programs that Biden has spent money on. I would argue that despite Trump blowing up the deficit, as Republican presidents tend to do, Joe Biden's spending has actually made sense. The CHIPS and Science Act, which increased domestic manufacturing, spending for something that strengthens the country. The Inflation Reduction Act, which, and the infrastructure bill, which strengthen infrastructure while investing in green energy, while putting money into jobs that are local, good paying jobs. He's spending money in a way that makes a lot of sense. Student loan debt forgiveness. Biden has done more student loan debt forgiveness than any president. Spending money in an economically stimulative way, because now people whose student loan debt was forgiven, instead of paying interest on loans, they are taking that money that's freed up and putting it into local communities. It's called demand side stimulus in the economic world. Yeah, he's spending money in ways that I like, in ways that I like. Here's a YouTube viewer who says, why are you still in the YouTube news section? You should be in the fools section because you say everything Trump said is BS, but HS that comes out of your month really is gabbish as you country go down the drain. You base prick, you are. What is wrong with America and jokers like you? You are so scared Trump is going to win. America has woken up. Joe Biden loser. It's really hard to parse the syntax on this one, but I want to tell people again, I'm not scared Trump is going to win because something's going to happen to me. I'm going to be fine. That's the reality. Okay. I'm scared of Trump winning because of what's going to happen to the country and what's going to happen to people who are in precarious employment situations and what's going to happen to people who are economically marginalized and what's going to happen to minority groups of different kinds. It's not this whole I'm so scared. It would be terrible for me if Trump won. I hate to tell you, if Trump won, it's probably great for the show and it's fine for me. I'm worried because I care about more than just myself. And it's really hard to get a bunch of these people on the right to understand that. The Corvair guy says, dude, get over the Trump derangement syndrome. You know, Trump is good for America. You just can't break free from your Democrat Party line. Remember, I'm not a Democrat. I have no Democrat Party line. The Corvair guy continues, but you will probably vote secretly for Trump because we were much better off on many issues when he was running it. Stop fooling us and yourself. vote Trump 2024 like a good patriot. First of all, my vote is irrelevant. The idea that I would say I'm voting one way, but actually vote a different way when I vote in New York, which Trump is going to lose no matter what. I mean, my vote doesn't matter here. Sadly, I wish we had a national popular vote, but my vote does not matter. The idea that I would tell my audience one thing and do a different one behind the scenes is absolutely disgusting. I've said before, I think one of the most dishonest and horrible things that content creators can do is to essentially play characters and to be someone different behind the scenes. Any view I espouse on the show, I espouse in my private life. I know that that is not true of every content creator. I know that there are content creators that have latched on to what they perceive to be views that generate clicks or get them speaking gigs or whatever the case may be. That is not something you're ever going to get on this show. So one thing you can be sure of is if I'm telling you something on the show that I believe it in real life. All right, let's do one of these is very much indicative of how disinformation spreads. Johnny Rocks wrote in trying to prove the point that Biden doesn't know what's going on. Johnny wrote, according to Biden, we lost the Revolutionary War because we didn't have enough airports. That's one reason to vote for Trump. So here is how disinformation spreads. Donald Trump is the one who, during a speech, talked about airports during the Revolutionary War. When Joe Biden talked about it, he was quoting Trump. Joe Rogan actually did a segment where Joe Rogan said, man, I saw this video of Biden talking about airports during the Revolutionary War. Jamie pulls up. It was actually Trump who said it. Biden was just quoting him. And Rogan goes, oh, I don't know. Okay. This is a classic. If you believe that when a president says something about airports during the Revolutionary War, it's indicative that they are unfit for office, it is actually Trump who said it. Okay, Johnny, go check out your, go check the record. Fact check me on this one. Irma Parham wrote in about immigration and said, 8-year-old kids can't make immigration decisions, David, but you're okay if they make gender transition mutilation surgery decisions on their own. Everything you advocate is creepy. So first and foremost, if you're 8 years old in Mexico and your parents say, hey, tomorrow we're leaving, we're going to the United States, it is not your decision. It is not your decision. When it comes to gender transition mutilation surgery decisions, I am not able to find a shred of evidence that 8-year-olds are making those decisions on their own. Never mind evidence that in any significant number, 8-year-olds are having such surgeries. Do the research. Matt Walsh floated completely imaginary numbers about this. Others have as well. The idea that an 8-year-old can go, I want to have a surgery to change my genitalia, and a month later it's being done, is not happening. In addition to this, even if the endpoint is such a surgery, there are so many mental health requirements, parental involvement, etc. Now, you can still acknowledge that that's going on and that all of these safeguards are in place and say, I don't think any 8-year-old should have that done. I don't know the answer to that. That part I'm unsure about. OK, I defer to the medical experts and mental health experts on that. Maybe it's true that it shouldn't be happening with 8-year-olds. It basically isn't, is what the data tell us. But this person is actually proving my point. In order to get any kind of transition services for minors, parents almost always have to be involved at the younger ages. There is a mental health process. There is a pathway that is put in place. There are no kids making these decisions for themselves. And Irma seems really to be proving my point more than she's proving the point she thinks she's proving. Info@davidpakman.com. Info@davidpakman.com is the place to write if you have a question, a comment, a criticism, a concern, whatever the case may be. We have a fantastic bonus show coming up for you. Producer Pat will be on the bonus show. You can sign up at joinpacman.com.
A David Pakman membership costs $6 a month.
Normally it's $6 a month. You can get a discount by using the code SAVEDEMOCRACY24. And I also encourage you to do it before the new website launches, because membership prices will be going up. You can lock in the lower rates for as long as you want them by signing up today at joinpacman.com. We'll see you on the bonus show, and then we'll be back here on Monday.